That being said, turn to Haggai. Amen. For those of you having trouble, that's on 1024 in my Bible. The book of Haggai, chapter 1. I told you in Sunday school that the prophets that came forth from the time of the end of the captivity as they came back into Jerusalem to first build the house. And in Sunday school, we dealt with Nehemiah, who came back later and built the walls back up after they'd been destroyed. And I love these men. I love the work that's taking place here. I love their hearts, and they weren't perfect men, and things didn't go perfectly. But they, as Nehemiah put it, they had a mind to do what God asked them to do, and they were willing to do it. And so I hope that maybe this morning I can give you something to encourage you. But I'll be honest with you. I want to challenge you more than just encourage you. I'm not here to reprimand anybody, but there's some words in here that come out that Haggai deals with that I think are important for us to consider, some things that we need to consider in our lives if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be what God wants us to be. And I hope today that because you're sitting here, I hope that that's your desire, is to be what God wants you to be. I hope that your heart would be that God would be pleased with your life. I mean, if that's not your goal, then you've missed the mark. Amen. I want God to be pleased with my life. So if you'd stand, please, in honor of God's word, we're going to read the first two books verses of the book of Haggai. And if I read it wrong, it's not the Bible's fault. It's my fault. Okay. My wife totally lets me know every time that I missed the words, and that's okay. It's not okay, but it's the way it is. I'm too stubborn to wear my glasses. And I get up here, but right now I'm steaming, and I couldn't see through them anyway, so I'd have to take them off. So it's just, it's the way it is. So just read the King James Bible, and what it says, that's what it means. Amen. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Joshadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. This people say, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. And Father, we just want you to be honored and lifted up in this service. And so, Father, please take control. I pray your Holy Spirit would have free course. Help us each one to, right now, Lord, raise that flag, that white flag, and just say, God, I want to hear from you. And Lord, I know what I have to say is irrelevant, but God, what you have to say to us today will change our lives. And we need to hear from you, Lord, today. We ask that you would do so. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. He's talking about my house. He says, they say, this people say, he's talking to the people that were in Jerusalem. And he says, this people say that it's not time to build the house of God. But he says, I got news for you. It's time for the Lord's house to be built. It's time for it to be built. The place where God dwelt amongst his people was the house of God. We know that in the Old Testament, during the times of Moses, they wandered around in the wilderness there, but in the midst of the wilderness, God gave them the Ark of the Covenant that the priests would carry around, and in the Ark of the Covenant represented some things that were special to the nation of Israel, and they were there to help Israel remember some things. Amen. Memorial Day. By the way, thank you, military men, so much for what you've done, and we do have our freedom, and I hope that we're not too dumb to lose that. That ark represented the promises that God had made to his people. It represented the blessings that God had given to his people. His provision that he had made for his people. And all of that was to be housed. They built the house, the temple, to put that in because it represented the very presence of God. God in the midst of the people. Now, just for a second, let's take this to the New Testament because we understand that the Lord changed things and not the Word of God, but the way that he deals with his people today, and he's changed the way he deals with his people. And today we know that through the person of the Holy Spirit, and actually more so than the Lord lives in me. Amen. He tabernacles in us. And we represent the house of God. And all the promises that God made to us are fulfilled in our hearts through the Word of God. We have all these same things. So when he says it's time to build the house of God, I want you to stop just a second and understand that you can apply it to your own personal life. Now, I'm going to deal with more in a sense of a church matter, but I want you to get in just a second here to understand that he could be speaking to you. And he could be telling you that maybe it's time for you to quit building your own life and start building your life in Christ. It might be time to quit doing your own, building your own house. Boy, hasn't it become popular to go to gyms? If you haven't noticed, I haven't been to one. Amen. I've got the feeling, I really believe that there's going to be a lot of people real surprised when they get to heaven and see we're all fat there. Amen. I mean, because it's totally opposite of what man thinks is good. Amen. I mean, the man's got this vision, and we've made so many dumb decisions in our world today, and we work so hard on the physical body, and we exercise, and Paul said exercise is okay. He says bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. But there's a whole different side of you that's more important than your body. That's the spiritual man. And yet we spend more time lavishing to take care of the creature comforts of this physical body. And I wonder how many times God's part of this lie waste. And we do nothing to build it. That's what they're dealing with here in Haggai. As he talks about going in and the people are doing nothing to build the house of God. And I want you to know it's the most important thing we can do. So let's catch up on the story here. Haggai has come in and he says, this people say the time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. This people. Well, let's go back to the book of Ezra. If you go back to the book of Ezra, don't lose your place in Haggai, but you understand these are companion portions of scriptures. Haggai comes on in about the fifth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. So they're running the same time. We're talking about the same time period. Haggai comes in a little later here. In Ezra chapter 1, we see that there's an important commission that's given in Ezra chapter 1. In verse number 1, it says, Now the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me, now listen to this, to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Is it time to build the house? Well, God had placed it on the king's heart to build the house. God had stirred up the king of a pagan nation. The king of a pagan nation, it had placed it on his heart. By the way, a king that had been influenced by Daniel. And had trusted the God of Daniel because of Daniel's testimony. He'd placed it on his heart that the house of God would be built. Tells me then the house of God was supposed to be being built. In fact, it should have already been done. Takes us back then to Haggai. Why is his house lie waste? Why isn't this happening? Now you go back to Ezra, there's even a plan. It's amazing God always does things right. Amen? He always does them right. I mean, I thank God he had a plan for my life. He does have a plan for your life. You need to make sure that you get in the midst of it. But as he speaks here, he says, now here's what we're going to do. And verse number 3, it says, who is there among you of all his people, his God be with him, let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of God. So he says, who is it that God's called out here to build? We need some people that will surrender to build. We do that around the house of God. That way, who's willing to take this responsibility here? Now, if they're going to take this responsibility, the rest of us, guess what we're supposed to do? Help them. Who's working? Who's willing to work with the teenagers? It takes a brave person to be able to work with the teenagers. The rest of us need to pray for them. Amen. We need to support them. We need to encourage them. We need to help them. All right. And so he says, who's willing to go and build? Well, there was a group of people, not a very large group, but a group of people stood up and said, we'll go. And then he turns around and he tells the rest of them, he says, the rest of you here, he says, everybody that stays, he says, we need to help them. And then he goes on and tells them how they're supposed to help them with silver and gold and so forth. So listen, we see a beautiful plan of missions. God calls some to go. The rest of us, he asks us to help them. Amen. By the way, thank you for your help. You're helping so that our ministry can go forth. Amen. You can't do it. You can't go. But I was able to go in your place. And we worked together as a team. And so God is looking for some willing to go. He's looking for some willing to stay. Now, we know that there was a commission. We know that there was a plan. We know there were some that volunteered to go. We know that they had authority to go. We know that they had everything that they needed to be able to go. They had an unlimited supply of God's resources to be able to take care of things. The king said, whatever you need, I'll give it to you. He gave them the decree to take out there and say, the king said, we can have this. They had everything that they needed to build the house of God. Yes. Listen, there was nothing lacking. By the way, the Bible tells us that he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything that you need to be a godly person, God has already given you. You have that. If you're not building your house, it's not God's fault. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to take care of this house. It's my responsibility to proclaim the truths and to try to help you. But it's your responsibility to build your house. Everything that you need. So these folks had the responsibility. They had the call. All they had to do is be obeying servants. And they started out that way. They started out good. I like what Paul says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? I mean, a lot of people start out good, but then they get hindered. Something happens and they don't finish their race. Paul spent a lot of time talking about finishing the race. He says, I finished my race. He talks about what man intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, because he's concerned about people looking at it and mocking those that are trying to do and build the house. So Zerubbabel led the first group in to build the house of God. And boy, things were going good. Look over in chapter 3 and look at verse number 10 here. There's some pretty stuff here. And verse number 10, it says, and when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Wow. We've laid the foundation. Now, they're just started. This isn't a finished product, but they started this thing and they've laid the foundation and the people are beginning to get excited. Now, just a second. Look at verse 12. But many of the priests and the Levites and chiefs of the fathers who were ancient men, that means they were older. Some of us are ancient men. Amen. That had seen the first house, when the foundations of the house was laid, behold, their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. I thought about this many a times, because you understand that the new building wasn't up to par compared to what that's what it's saying here to the old. The original temple that had been destroyed, it was past. But there were some here this day that had seen that. They'd seen the original. And they've just got the foundations. Like, the whole building's not built yet, but they've just got the foundation, and these men look at it, and the Bible says they looked at it, and it says some of them wept. Now I thought about this, and I got to thinking, well, maybe they were weeping for joy because they remembered what it was. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? Sometimes that makes me weep. Do you remember what it was like when you were right with God and God was blessing and you was being used of Him, and maybe you're not there anymore? That could cause you to weep. Regardless, I looked at this and I wonder if it's because they are joyful because it's rebuilt, or if they're mournful because it's not what it used to be. And then God gave me this one. Go over to the book of Haggai, chapter 2. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. Chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, "Who left among you..." By the way, this is a companion scripture. Remember this. "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now?" Question. You guys that saw it originally, how does it look now? Now, this is in the finished state. "Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" They had seen it in its full glory. They had seen its original state. And their hearts were broken as they just looked at the foundation and realized it's not what it used to be. Now, if you go ahead and read the rest of the book there, you're going to find out, though, God's glory came upon it. It doesn't matter what it really looked like, does it? If God's in it. Sometimes we get to worried about what it looks like. It doesn't make any difference how big this building is. If God's on it, that's all that matters. Amen. It doesn't make any difference how many people you're running. If God's in it, that's what matters. See, what we want is to see God's glory come down and God working in this place. That's what we want to see. And God wants to do that. Let me assure you that. God wants to do that. So they go back and they build. Look at chapter 4. And we're in Ezra still, okay? Ezra chapter 4. Look there in verse number 2. "Then there came Zerubbabel," to Zerubbabel. Remember, Zerubbabel's leading the charge. They've laid the foundations. God has blessed, and the people have shouted, and they've praised God. And there were some that were missing the first temple, but the bottom line is they were able to end up shouting anyway because God was working again. And in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Then they came to Zerubbabel, and the chief of the fathers said unto them, 'Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the day of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither.'" Now, wait a second. If you'll read verse number 1 there, it says, "And when the adversaries of Judah..." Be careful when the enemy comes. And let me tell you, when he'll come, it's when you're doing something for God. Didn't bother them back there. Didn't bother them when they were back over in captivity. But now they've come over to build the house of God. And guess who shows up? The adversary. And here's their first line of attack. Compromise. That's their first line of attack. "Let us help you. We're going to get in there. Bring us on in." You know what's going to happen? God warns them about that. Because what's going to happen when they bring them in? Guess whose daughters the sons are going to look at? And guess whose daughters, vice versa, it's going to happen, and they're going to intermarry. And they say they serve the same God, but you understand there's a lot of religions that say they serve the same God. That doesn't mean they're serving the same God. The Bible says to try the spirits. I want you to understand there is a difference in the spirit in different churches, and there is a difference in God in many religions. The Bible says that we should be careful and cautious. And they come in and they say, "Zerubbabel, we're trying to accomplish the same thing. Why don't we all get together and let's just..." Now listen, let's not worry about doctrine. That divides. Let's not worry about standards. That's no big issue. Let's just all get around and worship God. wait a second. Doesn't the Bible say remember and continue in the apostles' doctrine? That's what we believe. And you know what they want us to compromise? The apostles' doctrine. That's what they want us to compromise. They want us to lay that aside. Well, these things don't matter. What you believe doesn't matter. We want God to get honor and glory. No, God gets honor and glory through obedience. Amen. Isn't that what we heard through Saul? Saul thought, I'm going to make sacrifice. I'm going to compromise. I'm not going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do because it seems more religious and I can make these sacrifices. And boy, that's going to make me seem great before the people. And the bottom line is the man of God says, hey, I'd rather you had been obedient and done what I told you to do rather than sacrifice. Yeah, compromise is not the answer, but that's the first line of attack when the devil comes. Going down to verse number 4. By the way, verse number 3 tells us, look what it says here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build the house unto our God, but we ourselves together, we will build unto the Lord our God of Israel. Thank God they took a stand. Said, you're not what we are. We're not the same thing. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to pay attention to what God told us to do. And we're going to build this house of God the way God wanted it to be built. Amen. Now verse number 4. Then the people of the land. Oh, now they're back again. The people of the land weakened the hand of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. The word frustrate means to tender, of no effect, to make inefficient, useless, unprofitable. So, guess what the devil's going to try to do after he tries to compromise you and you refuse? He's going to start lying. He's going to lie. The community will begin to lie and say things concerning you. The world, even sometimes people in our midst will begin to tell lies. And the sad thing is we have a tendency to believe them even though we know better. It's sad, but we will believe those lies. Now, listen. The devil's a liar, not the Lord. And listen, God's work is needing to be done. And understand, the world wants to frustrate our purpose. They don't want people being saved. They don't want the church growing. They don't want God to get honor and glory through what's going on here. They want you to fail. The devil would think, no, he would be delighted today if we walked out of here and locked the doors and never came back again. He would be delighted. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to quit. He wants to frustrate your purpose. Listen, do you have a purpose? Yes. I think that's what one of the men said, is there not a cause? I think David said that, didn't he, when he was facing the giants? Is there not a cause? You know what was happening? All the armies of Israel was up on the side of the mountain afraid of the enemy. And the enemy was out there calling them out. And they were refusing to go down there. And David said, I'll go. There's a cause here. I'm not going to throw in. I'm not going to give up. I don't care what that giant says about us. I don't care what he has to say. There's a cause here. I'm going to fight for my God. Amen. Amen. And that's what he did. Verse 6 says, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, the beginning of his reign, wrote they. Now, these guys got sidetracked and hindered. It says so from those that were trying to hinder their purpose, but they didn't stop. They were hindered, but they didn't stop. So there was a third line. They began to write letters. Timing is all important here. It's all important in everything we do. God does all things decently in order. There's a time for everything. But the devil understands that as well. Cyrus died. And a new king has taken the reign. Cyrus was the one that gave him authority to go out and build the house of God. But they didn't finish. They didn't get it done. And now a new king has come on the line. And this new king has stepped up and he's taken reign. And he doesn't know anything about the past. He's just become the king. And so now all the people, if you read this, the rest of this chapter, you're going to find the whole group, everybody. It names the different groups that got involved in this thing to sign the letter. And they sent a letter to the king. And here's some of the things that they said about these folks. They began to say, these people are rebellious and bad people. They're rebelling against you, king. They're building this house and rebelling against you. No, they're building the house because they had authority to build it. Why, us Baptists, we're terrible people. Don't you know, we're anti-government, we hate everybody. That's what the world says about us, isn't it? Isn't that there? They think that we hate everybody. Listen, to say something's wrong does not mean I hate the person. We hate sin. We hate what got them to this place. We don't hate the person. In fact, we're the only ones that love them enough to tell them that they need to turn. They need to make some changes and they need to trust the Lord. But the rest of the world just tell them, go ahead, you're okay. Doesn't make any difference. Just do what you want to do. What a mess we're in. The world's in a mess. You know that, don't you? And they're trying to tell us. I told somebody the other day, I think I'm going to become a woman weightlifter. I think I can win in the Olympics. But then again, that would have been 50 years ago. Today, I don't know. Probably not. But how silly. How silly. I did this. This is a commercial. I was getting rid of my dog. And I went on Craigslist and I put an ad. I said, she's a very friendly, good dog. I said, she's half hound and half boxer. So my first response back on the email was, what kind of dog is this? And I'm thinking, okay, which one didn't they get? Half hound, half boxer, or she? And so it just so happened I'd watched the news that day, and I'm a little bit, you know, I got some smart aleck in me, and so I texted back, and I said, she's half hound, half boxer, and we're not sure what the gender is yet. She hasn't declared. I didn't hear back from them. I don't know. Now, I want you to go on. I want to go on record. I've dealt with that particular subject. I've dealt with those people. And I sat down with them and gone through the gospel with them, knowing what they are. I don't hate those folks. I hate the lifestyle. I hate sin. But those people need the Lord. And when you stand for something, it seems like they want to call us the trouble. They're rebellious and bad people. They're dishonest. They're not wanting to pay their taxes. That's the next thing they said. They don't want to pay their taxes. They're going to steal from you, king. They're going to take all the... And by the way, they're movers of sedition. While you go back and they said, go get the papers. And they brought the papers. You know, you can make anything say what you want it to say. And they went back and got some of the old papers of when Israel was still a nation and they had kings and how that they ruled the world. And they brought those things forward and say, see, they were ruling the world and they want to overtake you and they want to rule the world again. Well, that's not what this was about. This was about building the house of God. This wasn't about ruling the world. In fact, they would never rule the world again. We know that historically. God had already taken that away from them. But they could get right with him and they could serve him. And so the king took and said, okay, that's it. We stopped building the house of God. It was that quick. From the time Darius had died until the time that Haggai comes on the scene in Haggai chapter 1 is right at 2 years. So more than likely, 2 years, the house of God lie waste. the people had gotten sidetracked. Sometimes it's because the devil's attacking. Sometimes it's just because they decide to lay their swords down. But here's my concern, church. Is there any reason for us to quit serving God? If the king tells us to quit serving God, do we quit serving God? But they did quit building the house of God. Probably close to 2 years. So now we get to the book of Haggai. I'm glad we got the introduction done. We get to the book of Haggai. And now we've got to deal with this thing. And Haggai's come. Chapter 5 of Ezra, but we're in chapter 1. In chapter 1 of Haggai, he shows up. In verse number 3, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?'" Now let me help you. The word "sealed" there has to do with the idea these folks had gone out, and it wasn't easy because they weren't in the middle of the forest. But they had gotten cedar, and they had cut this cedar in such a way that they had lined their houses. They had sealed their houses. It didn't mean that they had sealed the windows where they wouldn't leak. They had finished their houses off in lavish ways. They weren't building the house of God, so here they are building their own houses, making them pretty. Nothing, by the way, nothing wrong with nice, having a nice house. But God's house was having nothing happen. They had stopped. He says, "Is it time for you to build your sealed houses and my house lie waste?" And look at verse number 5. "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts." This is God speaking. "Consider your ways." Invitation. Invitation. God uses the man of God to proclaim the truth, and then God always comes back with an invitation. "How are you doing? How you doing on that? Have you got so sidetracked from the work of God that you're doing your own thing and you forgot about God's thing? How you doing? Maybe you ought to consider your ways. Maybe you ought to look at your life. Maybe you ought to see what's going on. What am I doing? How am I doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I listening to God? Am I paying attention to God? Am I doing what God has asked me to do?" He says, "It's time to consider your ways. My house is sitting here empty. It's not being built. The presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, it's all up in the air because we are doing our own thing." Look at verse 6. "You sowed much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes." No matter how hard you try, when you're in this condition, you'll never find yourself on top again. You're always going to find the pockets empty. You're always going to want just something more. The world always offers more than you're able to get. I read an article this morning of a gal that had won $507 million. She ended up getting, when it was all said and done, $80 million. She won $178 million cash out, if she took the cash out. By the time the government got done and the state got done and all the fees and everything were done, she ended up with $80 million. And within a few short years, she owed money. She started out with a trailer house and working at McDonald's and not owing anybody anything. And she ended up with nothing and lost everything. And she says, "I wish I had never bought that ticket." That was on today. They dealt with it on Yahoo. Because it always want more. Well, if I can have this, maybe I can have a bigger one. I got a nice boat. But they've got a bigger boat for sale now, and it's got all the fancy things. I was hearing the other day, a guy said he's got a monitor where he can look at the fish when it bites the line. I bet you that costs you. I mean, you can't just tell where the fish are. It says, I can watch him open his mouth and bite the hook. We're crazy. We go after those things and have a little fun for a season and go home empty with our pockets with holes and wonder why we're not happy anymore. Well, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Wait a second, here it is again. Two times. One time it's important. Two times you better pay attention. Consider your ways. You better look at it. How's things going? You better look at it today. How are things? Is God blessing? Are you seeing God's provision taken care of? Or do you find yourself always lacking and always missing and always wondering, where's the joy and where's the happiness? He says, if that's the case, he says, maybe it's time for you to stop and just take a moment and say, where did I leave you, God? Where did I go wrong? What have I done? Verse number 8. Here's the Lord speaking. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's what we said we wanted, wasn't it? God to be glorified in his house. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house is waste, and ye run every man to his own. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought. Yeah, God says, I called. He says, I need to get your attention. You see, we've gotten all our priorities messed up, haven't we? And it's a continual job. I have to work on it every day. Every day my flesh wakes up, and I have to decide if it's going to make the decisions or if the spiritual man's going to make the decisions. Every day it has thirsts and hungers that I have to say no to. Every day I need to go and consider my ways. Am I going the way that God would want me to go? Well, Haggai got his point across. In verse 12 it says, then Zerubbabel the son of Shechaiah and Joshua the son of Shadak the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of their God. Wouldn't it be amazing if Pastor come back and things were just stirred up and going like crazy around here and people being saved, and he says, what happened? God. God. We said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going around in a circle. I'm tired of building my own house. It's not getting me anywhere. I want God to get glorified. Let's just obey him. Let's get to the altar and consider our ways and ask God to forgive us of some things and get some things right with him. Verse 14, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Wouldn't you like to be stirred up? When they obeyed it. See, that's when the stirred up came, is after the obeyed. When they did what they were supposed to do, God stirred him up. And could I tell you, they built the walls. They built the building. They did the job. They got it done. God's looking for some people to just say, I'm sorry. I've been living my own life, doing my own thing, and God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And God, help me build my walls again. Help me get the house built. Help me finish it this time, and help me take care of it, make sure it stays what it's supposed to be. Because I don't need this house lavished with the world. I need this house filled of God. And this church doesn't need a bigger building. This church just needs to be filled with God. And it's whether you consider your ways or not that makes the difference. Would you bow your heads? Well, Father, we come to you, Lord, and we are so thankful for you. We are thankful for your word. Father, it sometimes hurts. You said it was sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder. And Lord, I didn't come here to hurt anybody. But God, what a joy it is to be in the midst of your blessings and to see you working. And God, I know this church has seen that, but God, I believe they have days they need to see it again. And Lord, if we've lost our way, help us to understand how important it is to stop, turn around, look at our ways, and get it right. Lord, here we are. We're in need of you. We can't do it ourselves. We've tried. We've messed up. We need your help today, God. Help us, each one, to do as you've asked us to do today. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.